Well, thank you, Josh, for reading that. It's rather a long passage, but very often we isolate little bits of the scripture where it's really meant to be connected with other passages. That's why I asked Josh to read it all, because the first passage I talked a bit about last time, and I'm not sure how much you heard of it, but it's about the king and his kingdom, and about how some will not taste death till they see the kingdom coming. And I want to really talk about again this aspect that he is the king and he's going to bring his kingdom in. Just to remind you that this, where Jesus talked on the Mount, what we call the Mount of Transfiguration, was in a place called Caesarea Philippi. And that is the place very close to where Herod had built a great big temple to honor the deity of Nero, Augustus. So what he was actually doing, he was challenging the kingship that was here on earth, the most powerful authority and nation that was around at that time. And he was showing his disciples something very, very important. Previous to that, he was talking about how he was going to give up his life and suffer many things. And his kingdom wasn't going to be like the kingdoms of this world. Just to remind us that the little bits of scripture are so important that it was after 6 days they went up to the mountain. In another gospel it says after about 9 days. And he's really talking about a new creation here. That is where he's getting their minds back to the time where God created Adam on the sixth day, a new creation. And on the eighth day, where one gospel is emphasizing, he's talking about a resurrection, a new man. And so then he appears in glory. And just to say that is a wonderful thing, but you know, we will be like him one day. And it's an amazing thing that we will be in glory like he was. Amazing, isn't it? Our bodies will be like his body. And they talked about the Exodus with Elijah and Moses. And he was again referring, as they overheard the conversation of Elijah and Moses, talking about Jesus' exodus. Their minds should have, probably didn't at the time, but it was referring to when God led the Israel out of Egypt, out of bondage, in a great exodus through the redeeming lamb that was slain, through the Red Sea, and into eventually the promised land. And his exodus, of course, was not like that. His exodus, bringing all his people with him, was going to be out of the system, the bondage, the prince of this world, into the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God. And that's what he is going to do, and that's what he started to do. You know, right at the very beginning of this, he said that some standing here shall not taste death until they see the kingdom of God. And when Christ was crucified, buried, and rose again, he introduced then to the world that he was starting a new kingdom, which is yet to be find its fullness, which he will do when he comes again. They were asleep at the time, just picking out these things. But, you know, when Bible talks about being asleep, they were heavy in sleep, talks about death, and they awake to see his glory. That was the first thing they saw, was the amazing glory that encompassed him. And the voice that said, "This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased." They might have even thought about the time when they heard that voice previously, if they were there, all of them, that is at John the Baptist, when he was baptizing Jesus, and a dove came down, and a voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved son." And the point is, again, God was trying to direct their minds and their understanding into something new that he was doing. You know, when that dove came down on Jesus Christ and the voice came from heaven, "This is my beloved son," he was hearkening back again to the time of a new creation. That is when, if you remember, when Noah was baptized in the sea, figuratively, that is, in the ark, and the dove was released and came back with an olive in its beak and so on. But then from then on, Noah started a new creation. So he was referring again, back again, from the Exodus, and also a new beginning there, new beginning with Noah. And here he is hearkening back, if you like, trying to bring their minds to understand that he was about to create something new, a new creation, which is not the same as Noah, of course, but a new one that is going to start in people's hearts, but will finish up with a new heavens and a new earth. And then he finishes with reminding them that this was going to be through his suffering, and that was going to be the gateway to the kingdom, his suffering on the cross. This new kingdom, this new creation was going to be made available to all the world through that amazing love gift of the Father, the Son, so wanted to bring people into his own presence, his own kingdom where he dwelt. And of course, it was all a bit of a mix-up for them. They didn't really understand about it at all, but he kept having to repeat it through the time that was ahead. And then, and this is the passage I really wanted to talk about, but it couldn't be isolated from the one before. Here he is in glory up the mountain, in the kingdom, as it were, where he shone in all his authority, his kingship, his right to reign over all the Caesars and so on and so forth. Here he is in glory, and he comes down to earth, as it were, from the glory to earth, almost like when he came to a stable in Bethlehem. From the glory, left it all, didn't count it a thing to be grasped at, and came, because God so loved the world, the Bible says, left it all, and he comes down to earth, and the first thing he comes to with the other three disciples, there's the four of them, and he comes to this great crowd of people, all in terrible confusion, wondering what on earth is going on. And you see a father distraught in terrible, what shall I say, grief, tears. And the father was asking for a release for his son. Among them were scribes. That is, those people who studied the law and so on and so forth. And they didn't have an answer. They didn't have an answer in the scriptures. And even the disciples. Now, you remember that the disciples previously had cast out demons and were given that authority by Jesus, and they had been successful in the past. But here, they were stumped and find that even the cry for help from the father and to a free son, they could not do anything. They were absolutely unable, because it was a different kind, Jesus said. It was a different kind. Now, he then comes in after the father's explanation about his dear son who had loved, obviously, so much, and told him what happened to him. And Jesus says to him, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me." Now, I don't think really this was a rebuke to the father. It was a statement of how long I'm going to be here before this kind of thing can be really dealt with. How long is it going to be? There was a cry in his heart. The cross was imminent. Later on, he says, "I have a baptism I'm really desired to get through, so that I can deal with this thing that is not in the glory of the kingdom of God, but actually is prevalent on earth. That the prince of this world has got in his grip, the whole of the nations, and nobody can do anything about it. All the religious scholars, everybody could not help it. And yet this is the greatest, greatest need of the world." So he says to them, "Bring him to me." Wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. Now, and he says, "How long has this been?" And the father says, "It's been like this, well, ever since he was born, really, from a child. And this thing has absolutely devastated his life and our families. Our whole life has been surrounded trying to help him, but nothing. And it was just terrible. And he appeals to the compassion of Jesus. "Can you do anything? Is there any, can you help?" Now, there's a reflection here. You see, there's this that's in the heart of Jesus. The whole world has been like this. the whole of the nation Israel has been lost. And here is a picture of the father heart towards his son. I don't mean just the Son of God, Jesus Christ, but to his sons and his daughters, his beloved Israel. Not only that, but the whole world. He had, and is this appeal, have compassion. We're in a grip that nobody can do anything about. Can you help? And that is the great cry of many, but should be the cry of the world, and will be one day. And how many, might I ask, of us who have children, who have families, maybe parents or relatives or friends, and you see them in this great bondage, which seems impossible to break, and it's, you've got to the place, like this father, he says here, he says, have compassion on us and help us. If you can, and Jesus sort of turns around and says, look, if you can, all things are possible to him that believes. Now, he's not really asking the Father to believe. He's saying, I am the one who can believe for your son. I am the one who can do it. And the Father responds to him, and he says, I'm going to be careful when I read this because I feel so much in the story myself. Immediately the father cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help me to believe. Perhaps you've been in that situation. Perhaps you've got children. And you just don't seem to have the faith, the ability, you just don't seem to have it. You've taken people to elders, you've taken people to church, and you prayed, you've done all you possibly can. And there comes a time when you recognize all your resources, all your faith just doesn't meet the demand that's before you. Your friends, but not just your friends, the whole world needs to be released from this grip of the principalities and the powers that have got hold of this generation. You see, this wasn't just casting out a demon. Jesus says it was a generational thing. Faithless generation. And it was something to do with generations. That's why he's talking here, going right back to Noah, right back to the beginning of creation. 6 days, 8 days, where he's talking about something has got to happen that is going to be utterly, powerfully, amazingly, authoritatively, that can break every power that's held men and women, whether they know it or not. And no one has the faith for it but Jesus Christ. And he brought, eventually comes to this place. Oh God, help my unbelief. How many times have I found that my resources are not there to deal with the situations that surround me and that surround you? And you say, oh Lord, help me. Help my unbelief. It's not a being a stoic anymore. You've come to the place of collapse, collapsing into the resources of Jesus. Anyway, everybody comes running together. The child is delivered by the word of God, Jesus Christ. They think he's dead. And in one way he was. For it says here, Jesus took him by the hand and raised him up, and he rose up. And here is the hand of God. He's in a new hand now. A hand that's able to raise him up from death, from the grip of Satan and the prince of this world. And Jesus said, you know, once you're in my Father's hand, no one is able to pluck you out. Nobody, nothing. You're there forever. It doesn't rely on your performances. It relies on his grip on you. Through all our successes or failures, or whatever our merits, or whatever they may be, the whole salvation of God relies on that God has got hold of you in his hand. And nobody, nothing, no principality is ever going to get hold of you again. Well, that's nearly the end of the story. But the disciples come to him and said, why couldn't we do it? And he said, this kind doesn't come out but by prayer. And I'll just finish with this. You know, there's a time where the Church of God have got to get before him. First of all, we've got to see his glory, his authority, his kingship. And having received that revelation, we, in prayer, and seeing how God so loves this world, and he is the only one, not according to our righteousness, not according to our personalities or whatever. He is the only one that can do it and can do it and will do it if we catch the revelation in prayer. And my exhortation, if you like, is to seek God. Seek Him. For I don't believe that this kind can ever come out of people, out of this world, out of this system, unless the Church of God has that authority from the presence of God that He will give to bring the gospel that will release men and women. Not forgiveness is not even talked about here. It's a new creation to bring the word of God with such power. And that's what He wants His disciples to do and be. Okay, I'm over. Bless you all.